Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him.
Are you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
But the other criminal rebuked him.
Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus answered him,
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Let's give them all a round of applause. Thank you very much. I love baptisms on Easter Sunday morning because they celebrate that Jesus died on the cross for people's sin. Died for ordinary people like Richard, like you and like me. And that we also celebrate that Jesus rose victorious from the dead. Rose victorious over ordinary people's sin. Over death and over hell, like Richard and you and me. And that ordinary people, like Richard, you and me, will share Jesus' resurrection victory over death if we believe in Jesus. Amen? Amen. This morning, I want to show you that Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for everyone. Even thieves and criminals. No one is too bad. No one is too evil to have their sins forgiven and share eternal life with Jesus in heaven with the resurrected and ascended Jesus Christ. There is not one person, whether you are here or whether you are listening on live stream, who is too bad, who is too evil, if you like, to be forgiven and to share paradise with Jesus. And that is why the gospel is good news. It's good news for sinners. Good news for people who have lived bad lives. And I can prove this truth to you from the story of the thief on the cross who was crucified alongside Jesus, who died next to Jesus. Jesus said to him, Today you will be with me in paradise. Let us think for a moment, what was this thief like? What was this thief like? Was he just a poor man who got caught stealing a loaf of bread to feed his family and was now paying the price for being caught? No, that is not the case. The word used to describe him in the Bible is the word for a hardened criminal, a bad man, a doer of evil. A person who is a nasty piece of work. Someone most of us would probably be scared of if we met them on a dark night. That is the person who is hanging on the cross next to Jesus. The Bible doesn't want us to feel sorry for this man. He deserved to be punished. He deserved to die. The man himself doesn't give any excuses. He doesn't claim that he's a good person underneath. He doesn't blame his criminality on his deprived upbringing or the abuse that he may have suffered as a child. This man, even as he dies, acknowledges that he deserves to be punished for the evil deeds he's done. He realizes he is being justly punished for his sins and evil deeds. He truly was a criminal. He truly was a bad man. So what did this thief, this criminal, believe? He was an evil, he was a bad person, but he definitely believed in God. In fact, he tells off the other criminal who's on the other cross for not believing and not fearing God. You know, believing in God doesn't make you a good person. I'm tempted to say, just look around and you'll see the truth of that, but I won't say that. But, you know, believing in God doesn't necessarily make you a good person. Believing in God doesn't make you a Christian. In this man's case, his awareness of God, his belief in God, made him fear God. Why did he fear God? Because he knew he was a big sinner. He knew he was a criminal. He knew he had done many bad things. He knew he had broken probably most, if not all, of God's Ten Commandments. As a guilty sinner, he knew that he deserved the wrath and the judgment of God. He knew that he certainly didn't deserve to go to heaven. He certainly didn't deserve paradise. What else did this criminal believe? Well, he believed that Jesus had done nothing wrong. Do you see that in those verses? He believed it was a total injustice that Jesus was suffering and dying on the cross. This criminal had obviously heard about Jesus. He'd obviously heard some of his teachings. He'd obviously probably seen some of his miracles. He may have been among the crowds, maybe picking people's pockets, doing deals as Jesus spoke and did and taught people. He probably nicked some of the bread and fish when Jesus fed the 5,000. You don't think about that, do you? You know, we sometimes worry that when we're feeding people in the food bank that, you know, some people might be taking it and for the wrong reasons. Well, you know, I don't think Jesus bothered too much about that when he fed the 5,000. There were probably people who nicked and filled their pockets up with the spare bread and the fish and everything else and took it home for themselves. This criminal might have been Mary Magdalene's pimp, for all we know, before her life was transformed by Jesus. Although he was a criminal, although he was thoroughly bad and an evil man, he clearly believed Jesus was the Messiah, the special one, sent from God, who would establish God's rule and reign in God's kingdom. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Interesting. He acknowledges who Jesus is. And he asks Jesus to remember him. Literally, that means not to forget him. Literally, it means to save him, to make him part of God's kingdom, of Jesus' kingdom. So this criminal, this evil man, openly confesses his sin. He admits he deserves the judgment, punishment, suffering, and death that he is receiving at that moment. But he asks Jesus to remember him. He asks Jesus to save him. He asks Jesus to give him a share in his kingdom. Surely Jesus will reject him. Jesus knows what this man's like. Jesus knows everything about this man. He knows what a bad, evil man he is. He knows the evil things he's done. He knows that the criminal deserves nothing but judgment and condemnation. But this criminal has called on the name of Jesus, the name that God gave Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Praise God. And it was for sinners just like this criminal that God sent Jesus to earth to save and rescue mankind. Amen? And Jesus says the last act as he suffers and dies on the cross was to forgive and save this hardened, dying criminal. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus says to the criminal, I tell you the truth. Now, whenever Jesus says, I tell you the truth, we're meant to sit up and listen. He really is telling us the truth, isn't he? Jesus is saying to this criminal, I am guaranteeing this truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. You know, that is some guarantee. You know, it's better than the best lifetime guarantee you will ever get on a product that you buy today. I've bought a few products which have lifetime guarantees. Trouble is, I've lost the blooming guarantee by the time they break or wear out or whatever. The lifetime guarantee didn't mean very much. But Jesus offers him an eternal life guarantee, a guarantee of eternal life in paradise with Jesus. And it's a totally sure and certain promise of Jesus to this criminal. Wow, that is amazing. He says, today, the day you die, you will be with me in paradise. No ifs, no buts, no mights. Not if you say five Hail Marys. Not if you can quote to me the Ten Commandments quickly before you die on the cross. Not if you pay back all the money that you've stolen from other people. Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus says, I will do more than remember you when I come into my kingdom. You will be right there with me when I come into my kingdom. You will be with me in paradise. Literally, that means in God's garden. It's looking back to the Garden of Eden. You will be in the new kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth. And you know, if Jesus could forgive and save a hardened criminal, an evil and bad man in the final hours of his life, Jesus can save anyone. Jesus can save anyone. And Jesus can certainly save you. Jesus can certainly save you. If he can save Richard, he can save anyone here. If he can save the dying thief on the cross, he can certainly save you. If Jesus could offer paradise and eternal life in heaven to a hardened criminal, Jesus can offer you paradise and eternal life in heaven to you today. Praise God. All you have to do is what the criminal did. Confess your sin. Accept you deserve to be judged and condemned because of your sin. And to ask Jesus by name to remember you, to forgive you, to save, to rescue you. To ask Jesus to give you eternal life in paradise so that you can be with him forever. And the question is, will you do that today if you've never done that before? Will you do that today? Just finally, just imagine for a moment this hardened criminal's reception into paradise, into heaven. You know, I don't believe in St. Peter and the pearly gates because it's not in the Bible at all. And this criminal certainly couldn't have met St. Peter at the pearly gates because Peter was still on earth and had just denied Jesus three times with curses. So he couldn't exactly judge this criminal, could he? But imagine just for a moment, although I don't believe it's true, that angels guarded the gates of paradise. How confused they would be. This criminal, you know, they ask him, you know, why have you come to the gates? And this criminal, he's never been baptized. He's never been to church, folks. Never, ever been to church. He's not been baptized. He's never read the Bible. I mean, how on earth can he be possibly get into paradise? He's never done Alpha. He doesn't even know what the good news is properly. You know, he's never done a Bible study in his life. He's never taken communion. He's never given any money to God's work. He's just nicked it off everybody. He's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's never spoken in tongues or had any of the gifts of the Spirit. He's never read any of the Gospels because they haven't even been written yet. He's never read any of the Apostle Paul's letters because the Apostle Paul is still a nasty Pharisee called Saul at this time. He has no New Testament theology. He's never heard of justification by faith. He's never been on any church committee. He's never done any good works at all. He's only done bad and evil works. And you can imagine the angel guarding heaven saying, you know, you've done nothing to deserve entering paradise. You've done nothing deserving of heaven. On what basis do you think that you can come into paradise, into heaven? And the only answer this hardened criminal can give is, Jesus said I could come. Jesus said I could come. And if Jesus said this criminal could come into paradise to be with him forever, there is no one here, there is no one listening on the live stream today who is too bad, who is too evil to be invited by Jesus to come into paradise and to be in heaven with him forever. No one is too bad or too evil to be forgiven and saved by Jesus. All you have to do is believe. Believe that Jesus is God's Son, that he was sent from God to save and rescue you from sin and give you eternal life. All you have to do is confess your sin to Jesus as the criminal did, and believe in Jesus, and he will forgive your sin and save you from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter whether you've been brought up into church and you've tried to live a good life, or you've walked in here virtually off the street having done all manner of bad things. Jesus invites you to come and to share eternal life with him in heaven. All you have to do is confess your sin to Jesus, as this criminal did, to believe in Jesus, and he will forgive you your sin and save you from all unrighteousness. You don't need to do anything else. You just need Jesus. You can come to Jesus just as you are with all your sin and confess it to Jesus and experience forgiveness and new life with Jesus today. Let's just close our eyes. I'm just going to lead in a prayer. I'm not asking you to pray this out loud, but just pray this in your mind, in your thoughts. It's a prayer asking Jesus into your life. I just pray this prayer in your mind, in your thoughts. It's the same sort of prayer that the criminal would have prayed today. Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned in my thoughts and words and deeds. There are so many good things I haven't done, so many wrong things I have done. I'm sorry for my sins and turn from everything I know that is wrong. I believe God sent Jesus to die on the cross to save and rescue me from my sin. I thank you that Jesus conquered death and rose victorious over sin and death and hell. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life, to forgive my sin, to make me clean. Help me to follow and serve you for the rest of my life. Remember me when I die, that I may live in paradise with you forever. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we would be very happy to speak with you at the end of the service and give you a little booklet, Journey into Life, that will help you understand what you've done in asking Jesus into your life.